Well, amen. What a blessing.
Song service this evening, man. I'm not good at singing, but that was a blessing.
I'm so glad we have folks like Brother Nathan and some of the others that can sing and lead singing, but man, what a blessing that is. If you would turn to your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4, I am so thankful to be able, while a pastor is away, to be able to preach, and maybe I should rephrase it. I'm not glad that he's away, but I'm glad for the opportunity to preach. I'm thankful that he has allowed me to preach. What a blessing it is to be able to get up here every single time that God allows me to do this or any other person to preach the Word of God. Man, it's a blessing that he allows us to do that. What a blessing that is. But Colossians chapter 4, just a few verses that we're going to be looking at this evening. If you would look at verse 7, the Bible says, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all these things which are done here." I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then I'm going to bring a message that I entitled, "Serve Faithfully." Serve faithfully. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Holy Father, thank you, Lord, for tonight. Father, we do thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for salvation. We thank you, Lord, for Christ and, Lord, him dying on the cross for us to be able to obtain that salvation. Father, I thank you for a country, Lord, as it stands tonight, that we are able to freely meet here tonight and, Lord, freely able to open our Bibles, Lord, without fear of someone coming in and breaking us up. And Father, I pray that you would help us to understand your word this evening. I pray that you would help us to just see a simple concept, Lord, that we've seen throughout Scripture just in a few men, Lord, that maybe are not quite as well known. But Father, I pray that you'd help us to just serve faithfully. Wherever you have put us, wherever you want us, wherever and whatever you have for us to do, Father, I pray that you would just help us to serve faithfully. Father, I thank you for this time. I do pray that you would give me your wisdom, give me your guidance, give me your direction. Father, I pray that whatever is said tonight would be your words, not mine. Father, if there's something that needs to not be said, I pray that you would erase it from my mind. Lord, if there's something that you once said, I pray that you would help me to bring back to remembrance the things that I have studied. And Father, I pray that you would just bless. Lord, I pray that ultimately, through tonight, you would be honored and you would be glorified. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many things that God is looking for in the life of a Christian. Just a couple of those that I jotted down. It first was the fruit of the Spirit. God is looking for each and every Christian, each and every life of each and every Christian to bear and to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Now, obviously, in order for us to do that, that means we need to be filled with the Spirit. And so in order to be filled with the Spirit, that means we need to have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, which the Bible says that after we have done so, the Holy Spirit comes and it indwells the believer and comes and helps us to live the Christian life as we yield to the Holy Spirit. And so tonight I'm speaking to those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior, the church family. Many of us, no doubt, if not all of us in this room. And the Bible tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is something that God is looking for in the life of the Christian. The fruit of the Spirit, as we all probably know and as we all can probably say, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, faith, meekness. And the Bible tells us that is something that God is looking for in our life. But secondly, the other thing that he's looking for is the fruit of bringing others to Christ. I believe if we manifest the fruit of the Spirit and we allow the Holy Spirit to use us to bring others to Christ, everything else that God is looking for in our lives will happen. Everything else that God is looking for a Christian to do will happen because we're manifesting the fruit of love. We're manifesting the fruit of faith. We're manifesting the fruits of the Spirit, and we're bringing others to Christ as He commanded us to do. But more importantly than manifesting the fruit of the Spirit and even the fruit of bringing someone to Christ, there is one that is so high on God's list for us that one day, no doubt, we are all hoping to hear Him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Faithful. The word faithful here in Colossians chapter 4, where it's speaking about Tychicus, who is a faithful minister, and Onesimus, who is a faithful and beloved brother, is the same word. That word faithful, it means of persons who show themselves faithful in the transaction of business, the execution of commands, or discharge of official duties. They had found themselves faithful. They have proved themselves to be faithful, or someone who can be relied on. When I think about the word faithful, unfortunately, I also have in mind the word unfaithful. And when I was thinking about the word unfaithful here just today, I was thinking about my generation. The generation that is growing up now, who are coming into their 20s and even early 30s, who are becoming more and more unfaithful to pretty much everything. They are not wanting to have a set schedule. They're not wanting to be nailed down to anything. They're not wanting to have to work to accomplish anything. And unfortunately, we can see that just in people being unfaithful more and more in their marriages. People being more and more unfaithful to their spouse. More and more, they're not worrying about whether they should go to the marriage altar or not. They're trying to fulfill all their desires and all their wants in being unfaithful and in being someone who just goes around and doesn't worry about who or what they're having these pleasures with. And the point I'm trying to get here is that unfaithfulness is becoming very, very prevalent in our nation. Whether it's unfaithfulness to a job, people just are not even worrying about whether they're being faithful to going and working the job that they're supposed to work, not worrying if they're being faithful to their boss, not worrying if they're being faithful to their spouse, not worrying if they're being faithful to their teachers, not worrying about if they're being faithful at all. Because nobody seems to expect anything from anybody anymore. And yet we still have a God who expects something from us. We still have a God that we serve who expects you and I as Christians to be faithful to Him. To be faithful to what He has called us to do. To be faithful to what He has for you and for me. And that's not going to be the same thing necessarily for each and every one of us. It's going to be the same thing when it comes to the general will that He has for everybody of being faithful to God. But my job that He has allowed me to do and the job that He has allowed you to do within the body of Christ, within the ministry that we have set up here, that God has something different for you to do than for me. And so that part of being faithful is going to be a little bit different for you than it is for me. But we all have something that we need to be faithful to, faithful in, and ultimately, the one that we have to be faithful to is the Lord. There was a discouraged minister who once had a dream. And he was standing on the top of a great granite rock. And he was doing all he could with his pickaxe to break the rock that was beneath him. And this minister tried and tried, hour after hour, a day after day, with no result. And at last he said, "It is useless. I'm going to stop." And then suddenly there was a man who stood by him and he asked, "Were you not allotted this task? And if so, why are you going to abandon it?" The minister then said, "My work is in vain. I can make no impression on the granite. And the minister was just frustrated with the job that he was doing. Then the stranger solemnly replied, "That is nothing to you. Your duty is to pick whether the rock yields or no. The work is yours. The results are in other hands. Work on." And as that man finished his dream, and in the end of this dream, he went back to the rock and he took the pickaxe. And when he took the pickaxe into the granite rock, it exploded into pieces. And now I'm not saying that everything's going to work out that quickly. But for illustration's sake, that this is telling us that we need to continue to do the work that God has given us, continue to do the job that he has bestowed for us to steward, for us the opportunity that he has given us, and we need to work at it, and we need to work at it and not worry about what the results are, not worry about what is going to the results are going to be, as the results are not ours to have necessarily. It's God's result is going to give the results. We are not the ones who bring the results on. We are the ones who are supposed to faithfully work and work and work and serve and serve and serve and do what he has told us to do faithfully. If I had asked you to mention one man in the Word of God that the Word of God showed being faithful, you might go to Hebrews 11. Many, many people in that chapter that have been faithful. And you may mention one of their names. Or you may go to the Apostle Paul. A man who in the New Testament is time after time in the Scriptures shown to be faithful and to have been faithful to the Lord. You see, Paul was a man that knew what it meant to be faithful even before he was saved. Paul was a man who was faithful to his Jewish upbringing, as he learned under Gamaliel, one of the finest Jewish teachers of the time, and he was faithful to his Pharisaicalism, so much so that he was willing to stone people and to hold the coats of people who stoned Stephen, and he was so faithful to that he would go to the end point of trying to stamp out those who he thought were going against what he was taught. He was faithful. After salvation, he had been faithful to God and to the preaching of the gospel. Paul also stayed faithful when it seemed like many others were becoming unfaithful. He even told the church in Philippi that he was going to send Timothy, a young man that he was teaching, and no doubt wanted to keep him with him because he was an asset to him, but he had a hard time finding someone who was faithful enough to trust to send to those people to minister to them. Because there is many that were unfaithful, but few that were faithful. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who are naturally care for your state, for all seek their own." They're not faithful to the things of God. They're seeking what their desire is. They're seeking what they want. They're seeking not the God's desire and will for their life, and they're not being faithful to him. And so they seek their own natural desires, not the things of Jesus Christ. It says on, "But ye know the proof of him." They knew the proof of Timothy. They knew that he was faithful. They knew that he was faithful to Paul. They knew that he was faithful to God as Timothy walked and served and did what Paul did, asked him to do within the will of God for Timothy's life. And so they saw the proof of him. They saw that he was faithful. "That as a son with the Father, he has served me with me in the gospel." Before we move on, I want to say, people know when we're faithful and when we're unfaithful. And not that we're supposed to do it for the sight of man, but if man can see when we're faithful and unfaithful, and God, who can see the heart, knows when we're faithful and unfaithful, even when we do the job. You can do the job and still not faithfully do it with the right heart that he wants us to do it with. You see, they would be good examples of faithfulness. But maybe then the statement would be raised that of course the stars of the Bible would have been faithful to God. Of course the ones who are put in great light and who are stamped throughout the scriptures many, many times would have been faithful to God. Of course they would have. Because God gave them great opportunities. But you see, it wasn't the great opportunities to be faithful that made those men faithful. It was their faithfulness to a great God that gave them those great opportunities to be faithful. They were faithful before the well-known opportunities came. They were faithful before the opportunity to be stamped in Scripture came into their lives. You see, tonight we're not going to look at Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Joseph, and although they would be great examples of faithfulness at times in their life, we're not going to look at Daniel or Stephen or even Paul. But tonight I want us to look at the testimony that Scripture gives of two men, Tychicus and Onesimus, who were faithful in any opportunity that was given to them. The Apostle Paul had written this letter to the church in Colossae. It was somewhere around 62 to 64 AD while he was in a Roman prison. And as he was finishing this letter to the Colossians, he writes here in chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here." First, I want us to see within these two men that God wants everyone to be faithful. God wants everyone to be faithful. Tychicus, for example, we'll start with him. He was faithful for many years. This is just one example of about five times when the man Tychicus was mentioned in Scripture. Acts chapter 20 and verse 4 is when we first see him come onto the scene. And it says there, "And there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus." But then it goes on into the book of Ephesians, where the Apostle Paul written, it says, "But that ye may also know my affairs, and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things." 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus." Titus 3:12, it says, "When I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined to winter." Tychicus had been faithful time and time again, wanted to use him many, many times. Because he faithfully served with Paul. He faithfully walked with Paul. He faithfully went through the hardships with Paul. He faithfully served alongside the Apostle Paul. That the Apostle Paul, in many occasions, wanted to send him to Ephesus while Timothy was going to come and to be with Paul. And no doubt that was going to be a time when Tychicus was going to look after the affairs of the church there, as Timothy was not there anymore. But then he also says in Titus chapter 3 that when Titus was not going to be there at that time as well, he wanted Titus to come. But he said, "I'm going to send either Artemas or I'm going to send Tychicus." A man who is not maybe as well known throughout Scripture was a man who was given opportunities to do great things, but he didn't start with great things in order to be faithful, but he started being faithful in order to do the great things. God allowed him to do great things after he was faithful. But then Onesimus, I find very interesting that he would be mentioned here with Tychicus, who was faithful. And the Apostle Paul uses the same word for Tychicus that he does Onesimus, who we're going to see here in a minute was a runaway slave that many of you know. You already know that he was a runaway slave. He was a man who was unprofitable. He was a man who was unfaithful. He was a man who was not saved at the time. If you would turn your Bibles to Philemon, we're just going to read it because it's not many verses here. We're just going to read the whole thing so you get the story of Paul writing to Philemon about Onesimus, of where he was before and after he met the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, remember, he calls him faithful in Colossians. Philemon in verse 1, and it says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Verse 3. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of thy saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past to thee was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldst receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord, having confidence in thy obedience. I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, and Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, be with your spirit. Amen. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to this man, Philemon, who was a owner of this slave whose name was Onesimus. And at the time of Onesimus being with Philemon, he was unprofitable. He was someone who was unfaithful. He was a man who left his post. He left what he was supposed to do. He left the man that he was serving, the man that was over top of him, and obviously a Christian man. And he ran away. But between the time that he ran away and the time that he got saved, he met the man Paul. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, led him to the Lord. And sometime between the time that he got saved and the time that he was sent back with this letter to Philemon, the Apostle Paul saw something different in him than he had seen before. The Apostle Paul saw something of a man who just got saved, who before was very unfaithful and very unprofitable to his servant, and yet, or to his master. And yet after he trusted Christ as his Savior, after he spent some time with Paul says he is a faithful brother He didn't call him a minister, but he called him faithful. He showed in that time how he could be faithful, no doubt, to God. How he could be faithful to the one that he now is part of the family of. He's part of the family of God when he trusted Christ as Savior. He was showing himself faithful to God. He was showing himself faithful to Paul. No doubt Paul used him. Paul was a man who didn't feel like he had to do everything himself. He was a man who said, okay, you want to help me? Come with me. You want to do something to help me with my mission? Okay, that's fine. You're saved? Help me. Serve with me. Come alongside of me. Be a co-laborer with me. And so no doubt he gave him small tasks to do while he was with him within the amount of time that he had before he went back to be with his master. And my point here is Tychicus had many years with Paul. Tychicus was a man who spent many times walking with Paul and with the others that were with him serving and being faithful. But yet Onesimus is called faithful just as much as Tychicus is here in this scripture and other scriptures as you see in Philemon. He was telling him how he was being faithful. And yet, he was a man who previously was unfaithful. Maybe it seems in our heart that we've been too unfaithful to God, that we've been too unfaithful to his will for our life, that he's not going to accept us back and allow us to serve him anymore and allow us to be faithful to him anymore. But you know what? God isn't a God who just throws us away. God isn't a God who just says, well, you're unfaithful to me before. I'm going to make you not serve me anymore. I'm not going to let you come back. I'm not going to let you serve and do things in ministry or do things for my name. But he says, come back. If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just. If you confess that we've been unfaithful, if we work at being faithful, if we do what he wants us to do and we prove ourselves to be faithful, he will allow us to have more opportunities to be faithful and to do things for him. And so Onesimus was a slave. He was somebody who was unfaithful and who now is faithful. God wants everyone to be faithful. Whether you've been faithful or whether you've been unfaithful, he wants you to be faithful. He wants you to come back to him and say, Lord, use me, and I will be faithful. I want to be faithful. I want to serve you. If we've been unfaithful, he wants us to come back, and he wants us to be faithful. First, he wants us to be faithful to him. Before he allows us to be faithful in service, before he allows us to be faithful in ministry, to serve others, he wants us to be faithful to him once again. Have we wandered away from being faithful to him? Have we wandered a little bit away from being as faithful as he wants us to be? Maybe that's why we're not getting the opportunities to be faithful in service. Maybe that's why we're not getting the opportunities to be faithful to serve his children and his people. God wants us to be faithful, but he wants everyone to be faithful. Not just the Tychicuses, not just the Pauls, not just the Daniels, but even the Onesimuses. Even the ones who just recently got saved, who were unprofitable before, he wants them all to be faithful. But secondly, God wants everyone to be faithful in the position that he has placed them. We don't see Tychicus trying to be in Paul's position. We don't see Onesimus trying to be in Tychicus' position. You see, Tychicus was a minister, and maybe Onesimus was able to reach that point in time where he was able to, Paul would have called him a minister, but at this point he was not. He didn't call him a minister, a servant of the Lord, because he hadn't proved himself faithful yet. Tychicus was a minister. He was one who was serving the Lord. He was one who was serving alongside of Paul. And I'm not going to belabor this necessarily because we talked about it a little bit in the first point. But he was one who was in Acts chapter 20 serving with Paul. In the Ephesians and in Timothy, he was serving along with Paul. And Paul allowed him and God gave him opportunities to serve elsewhere. But you see, Tychicus was a companion of Paul, but he was also commended by Paul. He was commended as being a faithful servant, a faithful minister, a faithful servant of the Lord. Onesimus, as well, was being faithful in the little task that Paul and God gave him. Can I encourage you, no matter what your task is, no matter what God has allowed you to do, maybe it seems small, be faithful in it. When you're faithful in little, he will make you ruler over much. Now, we shouldn't do it just so we could be ruler. We should do it because we love him. We want to be faithful to him. But if we're faithful to him in the little, if we're faithful to him in the least, if we start to serve and just get in on the ground floor anywhere we can and serve faithfully, God will allow you to have more and more opportunities. A perfect example is going out and trying to lead somebody to Christ. Sometimes it seems like some people you meet, God just brings 20 people to their door, and they're able to lead all these people to Christ. Well, how does that happen? Well, how does that come to be? Well, I believe wholeheartedly that those who God brings to somebody to be saved, and they are in essence saying, what must I do to be saved? Like the teenager and her grandmother this past week. It starts in being faithful on knocking on someone's door week after week. It means being faithful in handing out a tract to the cashier when you get a chance. It means being faithful in telling people about Christ and the opportunities that God gives you, and then he will give you more opportunities to lead folks to Christ. We need to be faithful in the task that God has given us. Whether it's cleaning the bathrooms, whether it's mowing the lawn, whether it's sitting in the nursery, whether it's helping an RU, whether it's going to the rescue mission and serving a meal, whether it's teaching a Sunday school class, whatever it may be, no task is too small in the work of the Lord. We need you all. God wants to use you all, but we need to be faithful. God wants to use faithful people. God wants to use people who will do what he asked them to do, who he can rely on. People in the workforce, they don't want to hire somebody who is unfaithful. They don't want to have somebody on their team that is not going to be faithful to the job that they ask them to do. So why should we expect God to allow us to be unfaithful and still use us? Why should I expect God to allow me to not be faithful in what he has allowed me to do and then expect him to give me all these other things to do that are grand and awesome that we in our eyes? He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be faithful in the small. And one day, he may give us an opportunity to be faithful in the bigger, more opportunities. Tychicus was faithful. Onesimus was faithful. First, we saw that God wants everyone to be faithful. Secondly, we saw that God wants everyone to be faithful in the position that he has given them. When I say position, I don't mean that you have some title as head toilet cleaner. I don't mean that it's some title like that. I mean that it's whatever God has allowed you to do. That is the position that he has placed you in. That is the thing that he wants you to do. And he wants us to be faithful in it. But thirdly, and I got ahead of myself a little bit, but the more faithful you are, the more God will use you. The more faithful you are in what he's given you to do now is the more faithful that he will be to give you opportunities to use you more. Tychicus was mentioned of being with Paul on his journey multiple times. And we went through them, Acts, Ephesians, Titus, Timothy. And he had opportunities to fill in for pastors of those churches. And I know I read it before, but I want to read it again. 2 Timothy 4, verse 9, it says here, I want to read it to you, I don't have it written down here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 9 and verse 12, the Bible says here in verse 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And he's talking to Timothy here. And then it goes on to verse 12, and it says, and Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. And so Timothy was going to come to Paul, and then Paul was sending Tychicus to fill in for Timothy while he was gone. Titus chapter 3 and verse 12, it tells us here, when I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, so he wasn't sure yet who he was going to send, but he knew that both were diligent enough, both were faithful enough, that he could rely on them to go. These were the men that he could rely on. These are the men that he knew were faithful enough to do the job. And so God wasn't going to give the job to somebody who he wasn't sure was going to be faithful. He wasn't sure that he could rely on to do the job. When I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me in Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. And so the point here is that as we are faithful in the few, he will allow us to have more opportunities to be faithful. Whether you are a new Christian or have been a Christian for years, God is wanting everyone to be faithful. Tychicus was a trusted servant of God. Why was he a trusted servant of God? He was a trusted servant of God because he was a faithful servant of God. Oliver B. Green once said, as a trusted servant of God, he carried the epistle, talking about Tychicus, he carried the epistle to the Colossians and was trusted with an oral message to the believers there. In Ephesians, Tychicus is called a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. And here in Colossians, Paul refers to him as a fellow servant in the Lord. To Paul, this man was beloved, trustworthy, a faithful fellow servant, and co-laborer. Tychicus was faithful. Onesimus was becoming a trusted servant of God because he started to become a faithful servant of God. We can't be faithful if we never start to be faithful. Onesimus hadn't been faithful for very long. It couldn't have been that long of a time compared to Tychicus. He was beginning to be faithful to God. He was beginning to be faithful to the ministry that God would allow him to have, the opportunities that he would have. If we haven't been faithful, would we start being faithful? Maybe we've been faithful in everything except for one. Maybe we've been faithful in everything except for a small thing here or there. God wants us to be faithful every time. And I'm not trying to discourage you from doing this when I say this, but when we mark our name down that we're going to do something, God wants us to do it. Or he wants us to find a way to make sure it gets done. That is part of being a faithful servant. There's going to be times when things come up and you're not able to do something that maybe you thought you were able to do. And we understand that, but there's a point of being faithful that you find a replacement. You find somebody or something to make sure the job gets done. You tell the person that needs to find the person who needs to do the job. And this is supposed to be an encouraging message. It's supposed to be encouraging that hopefully we're already faithful. And just encouraging you in an unfaithful world, in an unfaithful society, to continue to be faithful. To continue to be faithful to God, first and foremost. To continue to be faithful to his word. To continue to be faithful to prayer. To continue to be faithful to telling folks about Jesus Christ and lifting up the cross and letting them know how they can be saved. But being faithful is something that unfortunately is faltering in our world today. You see, God has been faithful to us. He's been so faithful to you and to me. Could we not be faithful to him? God said that he would never leave us, and he never does. God said he would never forsake us, and he never does. God said that anyone who calls on him and can have eternal and wants eternal life can have eternal life. He's been so faithful to us. Could we not be faithful to him? Faithfully serving God in a world that is becoming more and more unfaithful. If we've been faithful, this should be an encouraging message to continue on to be faithful. Continue on to do what God has allowed you to do. to continue on helping others to be faithful, encouraging others to be faithful. And if we haven't been faithful, can I encourage you tonight to start being faithful? Can I encourage you tonight to start being reliable, to start being trustworthy? You know, the Lord spoke to me in areas of my life, and no doubt he's speaking to us in other areas of our lives as well. There's always areas of our lives that we could be more faithful in, that we could be more faithful to. But can I encourage you to be more faithful as the day approaches when people are becoming more and more unfaithful to the Lord? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we've had to come to church. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that not only we see the Pauls and we see the Daniels and we see the Abrahams being faithful, but Lord, you've showed us the ones who recently trusted Christ, like Onesimus, was being faithful. The Tychicus, who don't always get the notoriety, but Lord, was being faithful. Lord, help me to be faithful. Help us all to be faithful. Father, I pray that we wouldn't get discouraged in the mundane activities sometimes that go on, but Lord, that you would help us to just faithfully work and serve and do what you have asked us to do. Lord, to keep picking at that granite rock, to keep going, to never stop. Lord, to continue to do what you would want us to do. With all heads bound, eyes closed, as we go into the invitation time here, we're not going to have any special invitation necessarily. Just the Lord spoken to your heart, come to the front, do business with him as the piano and music play.